from West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org.
At the legislature today, a nearly $400 million budget deficit is looming over our guests tonight, the chairs of the House and Senate Finance Committees. Their thoughts on how to make up for that shortfall. And it was broadband day at the legislature as West Virginians young and old focus in on how to expand access to the necessary utility. Those stories and more coming up on the legislature today. Good evening, I'm Ashton Mara. Just after the first of the year, Governor Tomlin's budget office made the announcement that the state would finish the year with a $384 million shortfall. The state is constitutionally required to balance its budget each year, so lawmakers must find a way to make up for the 2016 gap while they also work to create a 2017 budget bill. Joining us this evening to discuss the challenging work ahead, House Finance Chairman Delegate Eric Nelson and Senate Finance Chair Senator Mike Hall. Gentlemen, thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.
Senator, let's start with you. The Senate Finance Committee took up some supplemental appropriations bills this afternoon. These are bills the governor has presented in an attempt to balance the 2016 budget. What happened today?
Well, essentially, the short story is that we basically took money from the rainy day fund. He proposed that, which was a $50 million plus. And then technically we have to pay for like Medicaid out of this year. So essentially what you did with those supplementals would say, we're not gonna pay from that out of the general revenue. We're gonna move it over and pay for it with lottery. That's the short story. There was enough money in lottery, at least currently or at the end of the year, to do that. So it basically dealt with, and with some other little things that you that were in there, It actually reached out to $215 million of that money you just mentioned were handled in those supplementals.
Now, Delegate, those bills are going to head your way. They're on the fast track because they need to be passed in time to balance the budget, which the fiscal year ends in July 1st. You're going to have to convince your members to dig into the rainy day fund. Are you going to be successful in that?
Oh, absolutely have to. we passed the supplemental yesterday out of House Finance of the hitting and going into the rainy day fund. We'll look for this coming to the floor. And I think the bigger issue on us right now are we need to pass this in order to have sufficient cash to pay our bills at the beginning of February. And I think that's been lost with some of the various people or members that are looking at this right now.
Now, the House Speaker was here last week, and he said he believes there are still places to cut in the state budget. And he's, I think, talking about the 2017 budget. Do you agree with him? Are there places that we can cut?
So the governor has proposed a 4% across the board cut, 1% across the board in education, supposedly to save roughly $100 million in the 16 budget, which would flow into 17. Both our committees are going through agency committee hearings right now, and all the agencies are being asked that very question, where else can we cut? And so that will be the first place that we look, in addition to some other resources that we have available.
I think we do need to make it clear to our audience that West Virginia Public Broadcasting is part of a state agency, so that affects us as well. But Senator, as you've asked, can these agencies take the cuts? What are they saying to you?
Well, I mean, today was the first day I actually pointedly asked the question, could you take a 5% cut, a deeper cut for the Department of Commerce? Because, you know, it wasn't, we just calculated if absolutely no revenue measures pass, there's no new revenue and you have $140, $150 million more to go, it takes another 4 to 5%. Today, the answer, obviously, we're asking for candid answers. And, you know, it's the type of thing that once you go that direction, this particular agency said, well, we'll lay people off, we'll close these things down and so forth. And, you know, there are people that say, well, that's okay. And then there are others that would say, no, that may be a little bit too draconian to do it. So that's where we have to go. We're not all the way through our hearings yet, so we don't know what they'll all say.
Well, let's talk about those revenue measures. The governor would like to see some tax increases. One, a telecommunications tax, which is a tax on cell phones and landlines. Another, an increase to the tobacco tax. Senator, are your members going to be willing to look at and seriously consider revenue increases?
I think some of the members in the Senate are. You know, we're currently in collaboration with the House talking to them about, you know, what may be realistic over there. And, you know, the basic message I'm hearing is, well, as long as we're convinced that we've got government to the bare bones, this is a message you hear. There may be some consideration of revenue, but at this point, I'm not that optimistic, it being an election year and so forth. But the question you asked me was on our side. Yeah, I think probably you see more favorable comments about doing something with the tobacco tax. I think the other tax is probably dead on arrival, quite frankly, just listening to the comments from both sides of the aisle about that particular one.
Well, the speaker, like we mentioned, was on the show, and he's definitely opposed to the telecommunications tax, but the House Minority Leader was here as well, and he said our members are not going to be okay with this. What's your assessment, Delegate?
I think I'll echo the Senator's comments that it's pretty much dead on arrival right now. Collectively, either side of the aisle, that telecom of 6% was supposed to bring in $19 million this year, 70 some next year, but it hits everybody. Cell phone, phone line at home, it's a little bit too hard right now. And, you know, we co-chaired a tax committee this year and looked at a lot of different options, if you will. And there are other areas that are exempt from sales tax right now that I think both of our committees will at least look at as potential options.
Yeah, can you talk about those areas? What are the options?
Oh, boy.
if you want me, I don't know, you want me to take it on?
One that pops out are professional services.
We're talking about sales taxes on lawyers' fees, things like that.
Yes. But in actual fact, in the studies of it, we determined that the majority of that tax would hit business more than others, so that there'd be some personal, but it's usually what goes on in the law offices is a lot of stuff that business has to deal with, corporations. And I think there's not very many states, I don't think, there might be one or two that actually do that. And I just think that's, I don't know, personally, I think that's a difficult one to do when you see who actually pays it and how it might hurt our economy rather than help it. So everything you push here, something pops up here. And that's part of the challenge of this particular process of knowing, you know, what's that really going to do to us here or there.
Well, you know, we have at least on both our sides so many representatives in our border counties. Mm-hmm. And so there are different issues in our border counties than there are in the counties that we represent that are more in the center of the state. So that's part of the equation that we have to deal with.
I think to be fair to all the members of the legislature, he and I are able to sit and focus on the problems. I'm not sure that every person who sits in the legislature, and this is understandable, I mean, a citizen legislature owns the problem yet. That's what I've been saying, that we really do. Members have been asking, well, we need to cut. So what I'm going to do, and I'm sure he's going to do, is we're going to hand Excel files or whatever to everyone who wants to look and say, let's start down through it and see where you want to go. I mean, you know, last year there was a proposal to do the IDD waiver, for example, which was going to cost some money or shift some money around. And there was a lot of pushback from the citizens, so there was a lot of Republicans and Democrats who said, don't do that. Well, that's going to happen to everything we do. There's a constituency for everybody, everything practically, so that we'll see what happens as we actually get into this, who comes back at us and says, you can't do that, and what legislators may pop up and say, you can't touch that.
You know, I think I might be asking a question that's impossible to answer at this point, but what I'm hearing from you both is there might not be that many more places to cut, and both of our chambers are hesitant to raise revenue. So what's the answer? Where do you all go from here?
I guess come back to us in 40 days and we'll tell you. But you're right, it's difficult. It's a heavy lift, as we say, in the legislature. There is cash. I mean, it's not, there's a one-time answer. We're not totally broke. I mean, that was pointed out by our auditor, but we already knew it, that there's money sitting in some of these accounts. There's cash around the state. Then there's the rainy day fund, which is pretty healthy. So that, you know, if at the end of the day this year you can't get anywhere, we can cover these shortfalls with that type of money, but that's not a good solution because suddenly the watching world, the rating agencies look at us and say, doesn't look like West Virginia is willing to make the tough decisions. They're just, you know, and eventually you'll run out of that solution. So you could go down that road, but the governor obviously doesn't want to go there, and he's challenged us not to. And so you're right, it's a mixture. This is a year where the members are going to have to be engaged in this budget process, not just wait for the final bill.
Well, we will be following the process throughout. The chairman of the Finance Committees, Delegate Eric Nelson, Senator Mike Hall, thank you both for being here.
You're welcome.
The House of Delegates will put a controversial bill to a vote tomorrow. The bill calls for a full repeal of the state's prevailing wage. But as Beth Voorhees reports, Democrats attempted today to put a limit on the length of the repeal.
House Bill 4005 was on second reading in the chamber Tuesday, a phase that allows lawmakers to amend the bill on the floor. House Minority Leader Tim Miley proposed an amendment that would limit the repeal of the state's prevailing wage to just 5 years. After that five-year period, Miley's amendment calls for an economic study of its impacts.
And the purpose of doing that is to actually measure whether what we are doing as a body in repealing the prevailing wage has all of the benefits that it's claimed to have.
The fundamental purpose
House Speaker Tim Armstead determined the amendment wasn't relevant to the bill. The unchanged bill will be up for a vote by the full chamber Wednesday. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Beth Voorhees in Charleston.
Tonight we introduce you to more members of the West Virginia Legislature as we focus in on the Mid-Ohio Valley.
Donna Boley is a Republican representing the state's 3rd Senatorial District. From Pleasants County, she was appointed to the Senate in 1985 and was elected to the position in 1986. Senator Boley serves as the chair of the Senate's Confirmations Committee and vice chair of the Committees on Education and Military. Mike Azinger was elected to the West Virginia House of Delegates in 2014. He's a Republican representing the 10th House District. Delegate Azinger is from Wood County and is the son of former House of Delegates member Tom Azinger. Frank Deem is a Republican from Wood County. He represents the state's 10th House District. Elected to his current position in 2014, Deem served 12 years as a member of the House after his first election in 1954, then 32 years as a member of the West Virginia Senate beginning in 1964. At 87, Deem is the oldest member of the West Virginia legislature. John Kelly represents the state's 10th House of Delegates district. A Republican, Delegate Kelly is from Wood County. He was elected in 2014. Kelly was previously a member of the Parkersburg City Council.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael says expanding access to broadband in West Virginia will give the state the ability to grow in a 21st century economy. But just how lawmakers plan to aid in that expansion is being debated at the State House. As Liz McCormick reports, lobbying groups that represent a wide range of West Virginians came together today to pressure lawmakers to make access a priority.
We live in a time where most of us are all connected by the press of a button or the swipe of a finger. The internet is the way of the future, but there are some areas of the state that don't have access to high-speed internet or broadband at all. Today, the West Virginia legislature held Broadband Day at the Capitol to look more closely at this important issue. AARP and Generation West Virginia co-hosted a press conference at the Capitol Tuesday focused on the future of broadband in the state. AARP is a group that represents retired West Virginians, and Generation West Virginia is a group aimed at getting young people engaged in West Virginia's future. According to the Federal Communications Commission, 56% of West Virginians as a whole lack access to broadband. But in rural communities, 74% of West Virginians lack access. Senate President Bill Cole says he wants to get all of the stakeholders in the state involved to figure out what's the best step forward for West Virginia.
In order to create a vibrant and growing economy, our state needs to invest right now in the infrastructure of the future, high-speed broadband, so that businesses can grow and thrive, local, county, and state government can operate more efficiently, and schools at all levels can provide better opportunities to their students.
Gaylene Miller is the state director for AARP, and Natalie Roper is the executive director for Generation West Virginia. Both women say expanding broadband is important for young and old.
And broadband is an issue that affects all ages. We know that whether it's education, working from home, employment, recreation, or telehealth and telemedicine, it's important that all over our West Virginia communities are connected.
This isn't a generational issue, and we were excited to be able to show how important this issue is to all generations, young to old, in between, that this is critical infrastructure for keeping all generations in the state.
Both Miller and Roper say they'd back any legislation proposed by the legislature that would encourage expanding broadband. Senator Chris Walters of Putnam County has proposed a bill that focuses on constructing a statewide fiber optic broadband infrastructure network. One that would be government-funded and government-owned. Miller and Roper say they hope the legislature supports it.
It's a complicated issue, but we need to be sure that we're talking about bringing people together. So whether it's private industry, state government, all of us working together to make broadband a reality in West Virginia is what's really important.
We have to focus on the fact that broadband is an economic development issue. This is about keeping jobs here, bringing jobs here, and ensuring that all generations can work from home, being able to work for employers, top employers in the state, access to healthcare, access to education. It's about access and economic revitalization for the state. And when we focus on those things, it's really hard to say no.
For the legislature today, I'm Liz McCormick at the Capitol.
While groups like the AARP and Generation West Virginia are excited about a Senate bill that would create a government-owned middle-mile network, others are pushing back, including one of the state's largest internet providers, Frontier. The bill was approved by a Senate committee this morning, but the private sector's hesitations may be bleeding over into the full chamber. The Senate Transportation and Infrastructure Committee took up Senate Bill 315 this morning, a bill that would create a government-owned middle-mile broadband network. The committee's chair and the bill's lead sponsor, Senator Chris Walters, explains a middle mile like a state highway system made up of internet fiber. Internet providers would be able to hook up to that interstate, creating their own off-ramps into rural communities. The construction of the middle mile would be paid for through federal grants and possibly a bond. Members of the committee had some concerns with the proposed legislation, like a section that prohibited the prevailing wage be paid to workers on the project. Members voted unanimously to remove that provision, but still, Senator Art Kuykendall had questions.
As a legislator that has to make a vote, I've got to be able to go home and tell my constituents in Logan, Boone, Lincoln, Mingo, and Wayne, you know, it's like building a road. You know, what is the start date once we vote on this legislation? What's the finishing date? Are we going to be year 18 on a proposed seeking grants for, decade after decade to implement this entirely in West Virginia and make it compliant? I've got to be able to tell my people that, if things go well, we'll have this moving and really through, from Logan to Huntington and Boone County and these places that need it. But I'm not sure we're there yet.
There are timeline concerns, but industry representatives say lawmakers should be concerned with the cost as well.
The problem West Virginia faces is in the last mile and actually connecting people's homes.
While Frontier's Kathy Costco says the bill has good intentions, she says government dollars could be better spent elsewhere. Costco says there are already six middle-mile networks in West Virginia, and lawmakers should instead be looking to give companies tax breaks for their work expanding the last mile, or the final connection to a customer's home.
We believe that the last mile is the challenge, and it is. It's far more expensive to try to connect people to their homes than it is to connect on the middle mile network.
While many members of the committee voice support for the bill, some other senators still have hesitations, like Senate Majority Leader Mitch Carmichael, who also happens to work for Frontier. Carmichael would like to see a bill that incentivizes the private sector to expand.
I think there may be opportunity to work out a better solution, or at least a compromise solution that really does immediately improve broadband delivery in West Virginia.
Senate Bill 315 was approved by the Transportation Committee and moves on to the Senate Committee on Government Organization for further consideration before it goes to the full Senate.
If there is enough interest within the body that to put the state in the broadband business, then it will certainly come to a vote.
That vote could come as early as next week. As we just saw, Senate Bill 315 encompasses an idea a bipartisan group of lawmakers support, expanding access to broadband internet. But just how will it actually be accomplished? That's a more complicated question to answer. Joining us this evening to discuss the bill that contains his plan to expand access is Senator Chris Walters, chair of the Senate's Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure. Senator, thank you for joining us.
Hey, happy Broadband Day to you, Ashton.
Thank you. Senator, we saw with those previous stories what the bill entails, but I wanted to allow you to respond to some of the industry concerns. Some of the industry, like we said, says the state should be focused on the last mile, the connections to customers' homes. Safe to say you disagree with that?
Well, you know, I don't completely disagree with that. No, I think that the state does need to also focus on last mile, but we need to focus on middle mile as well. And using these complex terms, you know, a middle mile is building an interstate system throughout West Virginia. A last mile is essentially the off-ramps that go directly to people's homes. West Virginia is really missing that interstate system throughout most of our state. So if we don't have that backbone, then regardless of what we put in the last mile, it's really not going to move our state forward.
So Kathy Costco from Frontier also said she'd like to see tax credits for companies who expand on the last mile. Is that possible?
There's a bill proposed, Senate Bill 16, to allow up to $1 million a year in tax credits to aid companies, subsidize them into building out to the last mile. And it's something our Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure is going to consider on Friday. But again, you just had the finance chairmen of both the Senate and the House on. That takes $1 million from general revenue. We're already having issues trying to find the money right now. So it is possible, but we have to look at the general revenue and figure out if we can afford it.
Well, then let's talk about the money attached to your bill, because you say that we can do it with grant funding and possibly with a bond.
That's correct. The middle mile bill creates a fund and says that if the network can prove to pay for itself, if it can be self-sustaining, then we get a performance bond. If it can't be proven to be self-sustaining, we won't get a bond, and that part of the network won't be built. Now, the grants that you talked about, there's tons of grants right now for telemedicine. The homework gap, something that people don't talk about much, is when a student goes home and tries to do their homework and they can't access the internet, West Virginia's got the largest homework gap in the United States. There are hundreds of millions of dollars available to close that homework gap. There's $200 to $300 million currently available from the federal government to expand telemedicine. So there's a lot of grant money available that the state can reach out and try to receive to improve our broadband access.
What about Senator Kuykendall's concerns about a timeline? Mm-hmm. How long does this actually take to get done if we do it your way?
Well, you know, if we get the bond, and there's an if there. If we do get the bond, then I've told from people in the industry that if we get the full bond, all the funding available, it'll take 3 to 4 years to build the entire network. If we don't get the bond and we have to do it by grants, it could take a while. It really could. So it all depends on, are we as a state able to get a bond and prove that this system can self-sustain itself?
And just quickly, the majority leader says he wants to discuss a compromised version of the bill. Are you willing to discuss that?
I'm willing to do anything that'll move the state of West Virginia forward when it comes to broadband connectivity. But I won't continue as a state to only give subsidies to one company, to continue a monopoly. I'm for giving more opportunity for competition in West Virginia. So if his solution that he has in mind moves the state forward and creates competition, I'll gladly be at all ears.
Okay. Senator Chris Walters, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ashton.
Tomorrow on the legislature today, the House and Senate energy chairs will join us to discuss the bills that will be a priority for their committees this legislative session. Delegate Woody Ireland and Senator Greg Boso join us. And members of the House of Delegates put a controversial measure to a vote, a bill to repeal the state's prevailing wage. You can watch that vote as it happens live tomorrow morning at 11 on the West Virginia Channel or at our website, wvpublic.org. This has been the Legislature Today. I'm Ashton Mara. Thanks for joining us.
Support for the legislature today is provided by the following.
AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State. Online at aarp.org/WV. The West Virginia Higher Education Policy Commission, working to double the degrees produced annually in our state by 2025. Through increased opportunities for West Virginians to earn the credentials today's economy demands. The High Technology Foundation, building a stronger West Virginia, online at wvhtf.org. From West Virginia Public Broadcasting.